Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Wednesday. We are live and in living color, I guess. You're on a Wednesday afternoon. Gorgeous day. Kind of rainy this morning, but it's like a nice fall day out there, although I can't hear the wind staple in spring and fall, and I guess summer and winter, all four seasons. Five, technically, if you're in Cedar Rapids. Welcome in, Spencer on Sports. Not Spencer on Weather. We don't do that here. Lots to get to on this afternoon's program. I'm hoping to get into Major League Baseball during the show today. I say hoping because the Iowa football coordinators, including Brian Ferentz, speaking to the media as we speak to you, part of the bi-week tradition, the coordinators, offense, defense, and special teams, meet with the media in Iowa City. We had a lively discussion yesterday. Appreciate your feedback. Appreciate your interaction all afternoon long yesterday, and we appreciate it here today. If you want to interact with us here from the Circus Sports Iowa studio, talk or text line open for you at 319-366-1600. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll get to the comments by Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz. He had some interesting things to say. Some tough questions. And I say that, you know, there's the crowd of the Iowa fan base that wants us in the media to ask the tough questions like we're not asking the questions already. And there were some actually pretty good questions, some tough questions asked of Brian Ferentz. He spoke for a little over 30 minutes in Iowa City, just wrapped up after about 1:30 or so. We have a few sound bites from him. Part of the press conference going on, LeVar Woods, special teams coordinator, speaking now, and Phil Parker set to speak as well in Iowa City. More coverage of that throughout the rest of the afternoon today. But we'll hear from Brian Ferentz coming up in just a bit. If we get some time, we'll take a look at the rest of the college football slate. Iowa, the Hawkeyes not playing, but some big games around the college football landscape this weekend. Some really good top 25 battles, one of those in the Big Ten, one of those in the Big 12, and of course, a few of those in the SEC as well. We'll get to some of those matchups in the college football world coming up in just a bit. Also, take a look at what's going on in the baseball playoffs. Crazy day of baseball action yesterday. Might be a delay to the start of day two of the NLDS. Jesse Rogers from ESPN reporting a few moments ago that because of some rain in Atlanta, the game, which is scheduled for 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central time, is going to get pushed back. Phillies manager Rob Thompson saying to Jesse Rogers that the general consensus is that they're not going to start a game or start the game until they feel like they can finish it. There is an opportunity tomorrow, looking at the schedule, for the game to be played tomorrow. The NL series are off for the day on Thursday because of a travel day. So there is a possibility that game could be played tomorrow, game two of the NLDS between the Phillies and Braves. The game officially not going to start on time, according to Jesse Rogers. So there's supposed to be baseball at 3:30 Central time this afternoon, but we'll see if that does end up getting played today. There is another game scheduled later on this evening as the Dodgers take on the Padres. A good one last night out in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers staving off a rally by the Padres, taking a 1-0 series lead. They look to make it 2-0 against their division rival coming up later on tonight. In fact, we'll have that game for you here on KGYM starting at 7 with the broadcast coverage between the Dodgers and Padres here on the gym. More baseball news and notes. We'll listen into some of the highlights from yesterday if we get some time later on in the show. Some football news if we get to it, and NBA preseason, also hockey. What happened on the ice last night as the regular season got started across the NHL world? We'll get to that later on in the show. But we start with college football. Hawkeyes on the bye week, coming off the loss, the 9-6 loss to Illinois in Champaign on Saturday, which we've talked about. Third day now talking about, dropped them to 1-2 in the Big Ten and 3-3 overall. Bye week this week, going into the game against Ohio State. Next Saturday, the big noon kickoff game against the Buckeyes, who are also on the bye. They're 6-0 and 3-0 in conference. And as is custom for the bye week in Iowa City, the coordinators for the team meeting with the media, having a press conference with the media in Iowa City. And first up today, man facing a lot of questions because of the performance of the offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz. And first question, and you'll hear the question from Scott Docterman of The Athletic. Is there a clear source for these issues the offense is having? Here's the question and the response from Brian Ferentz.
I could recite, you know, the stats and the rankings, but you probably already know them, and it doesn't really matter anyway. Is there a clear source of where the offensive issues start? Is it positional? Is it schematic? Is it you? Is it the play calling? Is it your father? I mean, is there one area that you think you're looking at saying this is where the root of all these issues?
Well, you know, I think unfortunately we don't have a root cause. I think we have to look at everything, right? And the reality is, as I just said, we all have ownership in it. But, you know, as simple as it sounds, the basics are the basics, right? And if you just think about offensive football, our job is to possess, advance, and score the football. And you have to start by possessing the football. So you look at turnovers to start. And certainly in the first 2 weeks, those were huge problems in the game, right? We turned the ball over 4 times in 2 games. Every single one of those turnovers either took points off the board for us or put points on the board for our opponents. Felt like we had addressed that, and I've seen marked improvement in that regard. The next thing you look at offensively is first down production, right? Are you staying on schedule? Are you staying ahead of the chains in those manageable situations? Are you being efficient on first down? And right now, the reality is not consistently, which then leads to critical downs. Okay, so now you're going to need to stay on the field on third down or fourth down, not doing that as well as we need to do and as consistently as we can. And then on top of it, right, that's going to limit your ability to move the ball down the field. Are you creating those red area possessions? And when you are you scoring touchdowns? Are you scoring points? That hasn't been consistent enough. And if you're not doing any of those things, then you better be banking on explosive plays. And at times, that's gotten us out of trouble. We've hit some big plays that have gotten us out of bad situations. But that's not the kind of world you want to be living in on a consistent basis. So, you know, I look at all 11 spots. I look at the coaching. I look at the scheme. I look at everything. And I say, we got to do better in all regards. How do we put our players in better positions to be successful in those opportunities, right? How do we execute better when we have those opportunities? And how we make the makeable plays at the end of the day?
Brian Ferentz speaking about an hour or so ago in Iowa City as the coordinators meet with the media, asked what's the root cause of the offensive issues, and saying there really is no root cause, and saying, as you heard him just talk about there, they all have a responsibility. They all share in responsibility. All the pieces of the puzzle share in responsibility for the struggles that the offense has had. One of the big sticking points and one of the challenges this team has had, and we talked about this yesterday, we've been talking about it all season now through 6 games, has been the offensive line, and Brian asked about that as well. Here is a question about the offensive line and their development and their performance here in the 2022 season.
For you guys, it's always started up front. What do you see from your offensive line not getting the push that they normally would, and the issues with pass protection?
Sure. Well, pardon me. I think the other night is a good example, right? So there's different kinds of games you can be in. We knew what kind of game it was going to be on Saturday night. Part of the reason I have a lot of respect for what they do there, they're going to play in an 8-man front, okay, regardless of what they're doing behind it. And what they're doing is they're going to line up and say, hey, listen, we're going to play one-on-one at every single spot across the board here. And if somebody wins, for us, we're going to be in good shape. If somebody loses, it's not going to be so good. So you look at the game a year ago, felt like we were able to run the ball pretty effectively against Illinois last year in Kinnick. We were winning some of those one-on-one battles. The other night, we knew that there were going to be man blocks, And at the end of the day, we just weren't able to win consistently enough to get anything going, right? So you think about push, and that's true to some extent. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to be able to win the one-on-one battles, it's going to be a problem. Same thing in pass protection the other night. The same issues that the front creates in the run game, it creates in pass protection, where you know it's going to be 5-on-5 for the majority of the night. Maybe not true against a four-down front or some other teams. But the problem is, real simply, we've got some guys playing right now that simply haven't developed to the level that they probably need to be out there, whether it's injury issues, whether it's missed time, and it really doesn't matter. The reality is what we have to be doing right now is pushing those guys forward as quickly as we can, trying to get them the tools they need to be successful and get them out there. And I think I'd be remiss to say, in fairness to some of those players, I've seen improvement. I've seen marked improvement with some guys. I think a lot of guys are making strides. Didn't show up consistently enough the other night, but I'm excited to see how they continue to progress.
Brian Ferentz commenting on the development and the play of the offensive line. You heard him say in the latter part of that clip that there are some guys out there that maybe are playing that maybe haven't developed as much as they should to be out on there. But you know, just listening to him talk, it's essentially a trial by fire. And that's sometimes the situation you find yourself in, right? The season starts, the games are here. You can't, it's not like you could just push back the season like 6 months and say, yeah, we'll play these guys in November, start the year in November and make sure everybody's developed and on the same page and, you know, and ready to go. That's just not how it works. And sometimes there is trial by fire, but interesting responses there, too, about the offensive line, some of the schematic and some of the game planning. You heard him talk about there, too, with the Illinois game coming up, or which just passed on Saturday, the 9-6 loss in Champaign. One final clip. I don't want to take too much away or spend a ton of time on this, but I would love to hear your thoughts about what you've heard so far on the Talker text line at 319-366-1600. Again, we heard Brian say there really is no root cause. It's a sum of all parts, sum of all weak parts, I guess you could say. There is no real root cause to the issues for this offense. And we heard him talk about the offensive line. Another question asked of him earlier today, about an hour or so ago in Iowa City, what steps can the offense take? What steps can the coaching staff and the offensive players take to get on track during this week off, this bye week, with a chance to refresh and recharge and plan ahead for the final six games of the season? Here's what Brian had to say, and you'll hear the question as well from the media.
What specifically is going to happen in terms of taking that first step to trying to get back on track to where to meet your expectations with the offense? What are the first?
That's a good question. Right. Well, I know this. You can't do anything without taking a step, right? And it doesn't matter how small it is. You know, I look at this and I say, okay, what can we do better right now? What can we fix right now? Right. Well, I can tell you this: we need to do a better job of eliminating negative plays. Right, whether they're sacks or lost yardage on rushing plays, got to eliminate negative plays. Right along with negative plays are penalties. And we've done a pretty good job through the first 4 weeks as far as penalties and being penalized. Not the case the last 2 weeks, right? We've racked up all kinds of penalties in the last 2 weeks, and all in fairly critical situations, whether it affected field position, whether it affected down and distance, right? A first and 25, difficult to overcome. If you're third and goal on the six or seven, wherever we were on that first series, I think we were third and goal on the six, left hash, you got a legitimate chance to go to the end zone. And there's a lot of good plays from the six. From the 11, not so much, right? It changes your thought process. It goes back to your question, Chad, about being on third down on your own four versus your own two, or your own five versus your own 2.5. So the penalties are right there with that. And then in my mind, it's just making the makeables, right? And I think that's different for every position. Going back to the one-on-one battles, Tom, on your question, the reality of football is it's a competitive endeavor. You're not going to win every one-on-one battle. That's just not the way it's going to work. But when you're giving up unforced errors, right, or you're in the wrong place and you cut somebody loose, that's a problem. That's a makeable as an offensive lineman or a running back or a tight end in protection or in the run game. Dropping balls, right, that's a makeable. All right, overthrows, underthrows, missing open guys, makeable. So when you look at the makeables, if you're not making those makeables, right, then you're going to have a hard time sustaining any success. So I look at that and say, all right, well, what can we do right now to address those things? It's not glamorous. My answer is we need to do better. We need to do better in practice. We need to have more focus. We need to have more attention to detail. We need to have more sense of urgency about making sure that those things that are going to set us back aren't happening on Saturdays.
Brian Ferentz talking there. The question again about getting the offense on track, using the bye week to their advantage and improving the offense and doing what they can to make progress. And some of the things he brought up were negative plays and penalties and making the makeables, quote unquote. And as you heard him say, that's different for every position seemingly. But also you heard him mention at the tail end there about being sharper in practice, having attention to detail, all things that, as we know, if you know anything about the game of football, it comes down to the minute details, right? It's the doing the little things correct. We've heard that not just from both Kirk and Brian Ferentz and the Iowa staff, but coaches all across this game. If you get the details right, if you get those small little things right, you have a better chance of being successful. So some interesting stuff. There's a lot more to get to from Brian Ferentz, but that is the bulk of what was talked about. Some other questions coming up about quarterback changes. Brian essentially saying, Spencer Petras gives them the best chance to win. They are still evaluating. He did say that Joey Labus, who I know we had a number of texts about yesterday on the show, about his preparation, that Joe Labus has not caught up and not closed the gap yet between the top two with Petras and Padilla. He's still in a close third in the quarterback competition. And Brian also saying, I don't have that audio in front of us, but saying that, change, just for the sake of making a change, that's not something really that this program has really ever subscribed to. But did say, as you heard him talk about, there are things that that need to be addressed and things that need to improve for the final six games of the season. Plenty more from Brian Ferentz coming up throughout the rest of our local programming today. We go until 6 o'clock every weekday afternoon here on KGYM. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. The comments we heard from Brian Ferentz. What do you think about his assessment of the Iowa offense? Hearing it from the person coordinating the offense, coaching the quarterbacks. What do you think about the comments we heard from Brian Ferentz? 319-366-1600. Couple texts coming in, 1143, asking the text line, wondering if a lot of it has to do with the strength and conditioning program and it possibly not being the same quality as it was in the past. I've seen that discussion come up, obviously with Chris Doyle's departure, the transition to Raymond Braithwaite in the strength and conditioning department. I'm no expert on that subject to speak of, but that's certainly an argument you've heard folks talk about, that maybe a perceived edge that the Iowa football team had with what Chris Doyle instilled as part of his strength and conditioning program. Obviously, there's a whole nother chapter to that story that we could spend probably three full hours talking about. Don't necessarily want to focus on that side of things, but is that part of it? I certainly cannot speak to that, but there is that question that is coming up. I've seen not just today, but across social media and across the text line and talk line here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Ken checking in as well on the text line, saying it's been said numerous times the offensive line is young and inexperienced. Wondering why is that? Why aren't there more juniors and seniors starting in the rotation? Well, Brian said in the comments, maybe it's a lack of development for some of these guys. And maybe it's injury related. Maybe it's, just a recruiting miss. That could certainly be the case. There have been players that have not panned out. They may have left the team. They may have, not, uh, not decided to, or decided to not continue football, or had to retire or move on because of medical concerns. You know, there's a handful of players in the last year or two that had to do that. So, you know, it's again, it's a multitude of different factors, but it certainly is a fair question about the development, about the recruiting, about the coaching of getting these players up to speed and ready to play in a Big Ten football game. Love to hear your thoughts still about the comments we heard from Brian Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City. We'll have more of those coming up. I might get to one more soundbite from him. He was asked a really pointed question about changes, and not necessarily from a schematic change or a personnel change, but a personnel in terms of player change, but a change in possibly his role with the university and the University of Iowa football team. We'll get to that coming up after the break here on the program. I do want to get into our midweek preview of the rest of the college football world. Some big games coming up this weekend. Take a look at those on the way as well. Spencer on Sports for a Wednesday, 12th day of October of 2022. It's back after this on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be a chilly and breezy day today. We will have some periods of sunshine, and then clouds move back in as another cold front comes through later this afternoon and evening. That'll increase the winds and lead to a few more showers. Then drier air moves in, the clouds clear out tonight, temperatures drop down to a low of 40. Tomorrow, sunshine, windy, temperatures will be held to the low to mid 50s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big, cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertine and Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
It's a weekend blitz with Elite Sportsbook. Place four bets of $50 or more on football, one each day from Thursday through Sunday, and get a $15 free bet. It can't get any easier than that. And don't forget, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Check out our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality, and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus 4-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at crst.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back at 2:29, it's Spencer at Sports for a Wednesday here on KGYM through at 9-366-1600. It is the bye week for Iowa football, so no podcast this week, our Before the Boom podcast, which we do each week. It's off this week. We're taking the week off because of the bye week, but we encourage you to check out the podcast next week as we record it and get you ready for the showdown with Ohio State in Columbus. Each week we'll preview the game, share our perspectives on the matchup, plus everything going on around the Big Ten and the college football world. Podcast Before the Boom is brought to you by Edith Lucille's Bait Shack and Wing Depot. It can be downloaded exclusively at kgymradio.com on the free KGYM app. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, and it is in video form for the 2022 season on our Facebook page. I invite you to check that out next week. It'll be up next Friday morning as we look ahead to the Ohio State matchup. 319-366-1600, talking about the offensive line, 4702 chiming in. And a good point about, you're talking about the line specifically 4702, but a good point about just in general. I think one thing, you know, we want instant results, and that's, you know, that's great. And absolutely, we're especially when we're talking football, you want to win every game. You don't want it to be like a, you know, oh, well, we lost this game, but, you know, we want instant results. I get that, but 4702 speaking specifically about the offensive line, saying people need to be patient. The offensive line will be fine in time. Plus, mentioning as well the 6'6 David Davidkoff, who is off or is out for the season with an injury. And, you know, I mean, again, he's a redshirt freshman, missed a year. What's his catch-up, you know, time like? What's that going to be like from, you know, the start of next year's camp into next season? But, see if he does play a bigger role in next year. I'm guessing he will play a bigger role into in next year's team. But a good point just in general, speaking of the offensive line with that text 4702, preaching patience. And I think that's one thing that kind of gets lost in all this. Now, granted, you know, you're expected to do things in the Big Ten West, expected to do things at any level of college football. You want to see your team succeed. And certainly understand why that the instant results and the success is wanted by fans, for sure. 319-366-1600. One more clip I want to get to from Brian Ferentz, and I'll let it play, but he was asked the question about job security. Seeing all the coaching changes in the Big Ten, does he worry about his job security? And I believe the question was from, again, Scott Docterman with The Athletic. Here's the question and answer from earlier today in Iowa City.
Have you had any concern about your position and based on the success or lack thereof of the offense? And have you considered stepping down because of that lack of success?
Okay, so I'll start number one with the last part of the question. In my opinion, doesn't make it right. There's two options in life in any situation, right? You can surrender. Okay. And if you surrender, then I think the results are pretty much guaranteed. Or you can dig in, you can continue to fight, and you can try to improve and do things better. I will always choose option A. Done in my personal life, done in my professional life. I wouldn't be able to go home and look my children in the eye if I wasn't an option B person. I think I said option A. I started with option surrender, right? That's not me. All right. Let me be crystal clear about that. Right. So that's number one. Number two, to the other question, you know, look, in this business, we all signed up for this. OK, this is a results driven business. It has been since the minute I entered it. None of this is a new phenomenon. Things that go on outside of this program never surprise nor shock me ever, because this is the world we live in. This is the life we chose. You have to get results. Otherwise, they will move on to people who will. That's the way it is. You add on to it, right? My emotional ties to this place, right? I already referenced it, player or coach, 16 years here, was born in the hospital across the street, spent my entire childhood wanting to run on that swarm and got to do it. And now got to coach here. And I love this place. There is a responsibility and a privilege that comes with being a coach here or being a player here. And I feel that deeply. There's another layer to it for me. My father's the head coach, right? I've been answering questions about nepotism my entire adult life. None of that's new to me either. I would flip it and say, if you think that I don't feel an added responsibility or added pressure to perform well for my father, you're crazy. Of course I feel that. I'm a human being. But at the end of the day, what you can't let happen is worrying about anything that's not going to help you do your job. And I learned that very early in my career. Keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes where they need to be. Keep your feet, okay, where you are, and worry about doing your job as well as you possibly can, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what's going on around you. Keep your focus there, pour your effort into that, and whatever happens, happens. Do the best you can where you're at with what you got, okay, and you won't have any regrets. That's what I was taught at an early age. I continue to live by that. You know, so I don't worry about what's going on other places. And quite frankly, I don't worry about what's going on for my job status or anything like that. My focus is on the staff, the players, and doing my duty to the best of my ability to help them be successful.
All right. You heard the question. You heard the response. With all the changes we've seen in the Big Ten, with Scott Frost getting let go at Nebraska, Paul Christ being let go at Wisconsin, and then coordinator changes. Does Brian feel concerned over his job security? And you heard his nearly 3-minute response to that. And I'll again ask your reaction. 319-366-1600. Thoughts on anything we heard from Brian Ferentz today? There is more to get to, but we'll leave it at that. Don't want to spend the entire show on it, but certainly is the man that was going to be facing a number of questions. And as I mentioned, he talked for just over 30 minutes earlier today in Iowa City with the coordinators, meeting with the media today in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. As you mentioned, some big games in the world of college football. We'll dive in a little bit more tomorrow on the show to take a closer look at some of these. So we'll hear from Matt Campbell as well in tomorrow's show as they get ready to take on Texas. The Cyclones get ready to take on Texas from Austin, which, by the way, if you've forgotten, Iowa State's won 3 in a row against Texas, which is just crazy to think, considering how Texas owned that series. But we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But looking at the Big Ten, some intriguing matchups. Going to see a big one on the Big Noon kickoff game coming up right away. First thing Saturday morning, number 5, Michigan, number 10, Penn State. Michigan, both teams actually unbeaten. Michigan's had a few tests here in their schedule so far. Penn State with their season so far looked pretty good with how things have gone, beating Purdue, getting that win at Auburn, then getting past Central Michigan and outlasting Northwestern in a sloppy game 17-7. Michigan wasn't tested in the non-conference and then got taken to the wire by Maryland. Iowa gave them a test. Especially late in the game, Michigan dominated the good chunk of that game. But Iowa, with the possibility of that upset, there is always that kind of thing. Hangover Michigan, can they pull it off? And they passed the test on the road there, and then were tied with Indiana for a half, and then lost 31-10. So first ranked team that Michigan's going to face, that should be an interesting matchup coming up in the Big House on Saturday. You've also got maybe a Big Ten West championship game. As Illinois, the 24th-ranked Illini, take on Minnesota. Also Maryland and Indiana. Wisconsin looking to make it 2 in a row with Jim Leonard, the interim coach, as they play at Michigan State. And then under the lights on Saturday, you'll have Nebraska taking on Purdue. A battle of teams in first place. Tied in first place for the Big Ten West as both teams are 2-1 in Big Ten play here for the 2022 season. The college football week actually starts tonight. You've got a Sun Belt matchup, 6:30 tonight on ESPN2. Marshall hosting the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette. That is the start of your college football week tonight with those games. Some big top 25 matchups. We'll get into the Big 12 as well coming up on the show tomorrow. You probably saw this yesterday. Speaking of the Big Ten, Alabama and Minnesota announcing a home-and-home football series for the 2032 and 2033 season. So mark your calendars now. Will these games actually get played? We'll find out. Will this be a conference game? No, I'm not going that far. I don't think Minnesota's joining the SEC, nor is Bama joining the Big Ten. But Alabama and Minnesota getting a series for the 2032 and 2033 seasons on Tuesday. First game going to take place September 18th, 2032. A couple days before what, my 42nd birthday? I think, am I doing my math right? September 18th, 2032 in Minneapolis, and then the Golden Gophers will head to Tuscaloosa on September 17th of 2033. Minnesota has a 1-0 series lead, in case you remember. We remembering the 2004 Music City Bowl. Much different Bama team as Minnesota won 20-16 over the Crimson Tide in the 04 Music City Bowl. Alabama has got a ton of big-name teams on their home-and-home future schedules. They're playing Texas. They played them this year. They'll play them again next year. Playing Wisconsin, home-and-homes in 2024 and 2025. Also, the likes of Florida State, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Arizona, Virginia Tech as well. So some high-power teams getting home-and-homes. That game in Minneapolis is going to be interesting, but the game in Madison, especially. Bama in Madison, that's going to be rather a sight to behold as they go to Camp Randall. Still remember LSU in Wisconsin. That was one of the highlights. I was reading an article on, was it Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? One of the Wisconsin media outlets doing highlights of the Paul Christ era. And 2016, Wisconsin beating LSU at Lambeau Field. Certainly a sight to behold there. 319-366-1600. Darren chiming in on the text line, talking about Kirk Ferentz, saying loves Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, but that thinks the coaching staff are analog people living in a digital world. That's an interesting way to put it, Darren. Appreciate your take. 319-366-1600. Take a quick time out. Do want to get to some baseball. We got some news about the status of the game today. It's supposed to be two games today. It might only be one. We'll see what the schedule changes might have in store for us in the NLDS. Get some highlights from yesterday and look ahead to what's to come in the rest of the division series. It's next right here at Spencer Out Sports on KGYM.
Remember how it felt to look up to the big guys? You can give a kid that feeling. Join the new Sports Buddies program with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Once a month, you and your little go to a sports-related group activity you both like. He finds somebody to look up to, and you get to be a hero. Sign up with your buddies so you can each get paired with a cool kid and enjoy activities together. Get in the game. Join the six-month Sports Buddies program with Big Brothers Big Sisters now. Get details at bigcr.org.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at wellmarkadvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
We've been banking with Midwest One for a very long time.
We're talking with John Buchanan about Midwest One Bank.
It's just very comforting to know that the people that are crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's are there. That's really what a wealth management department's all about. You just don't want to worry about it on a day-to-day basis. The ultimate is that the only reason you do it is because of love for the family.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Not FDIC insured. Not a deposit. No bank guarantee. Not insured by any federal government agency. May lose value.
Mike here with Brown Shoe Fit Company in Marion.
Mike's busy helping folks with the all-new arrivals for fall, like Hoka, Brooks, and New Balance athletic shoes, including long-awaited sizes and widths in popular styles. New outdoor boots and shoes are in store from Oboes, Keen, and Merrill, some fully waterproof. Smart wool socks are beginning to arrive for the season. Pick up a few pair. And be sure you check out the clearance rack when you stop in, too.
Brown Shoe Fit on Twixtown Road in Collins Square. Honestly, it's like having your own shoe store.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
And we're back, coming up on 2:45. It's Spencer at Sports here on the Gym. 319-366-1600. Taking you up till 3 o'clock. The gym class in here between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6. You want to tune in especially to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. If you're a Cubs fan, you're a baseball fan in general, you want to listen in today about 4:30. We'll tell you why coming up in our What's on Tap segment here before we step out the door. And 319-366-1600 from the Circus Sports Iowa studio here for a Wednesday afternoon. Baseball. Fun day of baseball, unless you're, you know, part of the King of Diamonds contest with Bet Rivers, like I am. Not a good day, at the very least, with that contest. We'll leave it at that. As we were speaking yesterday, the Braves fell to the Phillies 7-6. Nice day for Nick Castellanos. I'm not sure. Something bad happened yesterday. Anybody make any public apologies yesterday? Not that we're aware of, but Nick Castellanos, 3-for-5. 3 RBIs. Bryce Harper, 3-for-3 with a run scored. Matt Olson, home run. 3-run shot late in that game, but Castellanos made a diving save, a diving catch, to save possibly the tying or the go-ahead run for the Braves. So Phillies escape, lead that series 1-0. As I mentioned at top of the show, they were supposed to play. That game 2 between the Braves and Phillies was set to get underway at 3:30 Central Time, 4:30 Eastern. But Jesse Rogers from ESPN reporting that there is rain in the Atlanta area and they are not going to start that game on time. I was looking for an update during the break, and it didn't sound good for it being played today. There is a window, it sounds like. There's always a window, but whether that window remains open and allows them to play that game, we'll see. But Phillies do get the win in game 1 as they lead the Braves 1-0. Zach Wheeler going in game 2, scheduled to go in game 2. Then they've got Aaron Nola set for game 3. So two of their best pitchers as they look to eliminate the defending champs in the best of 5 series. Some heroics in Houston yesterday.
Here's the pitch. Swing and there's a drive. Suck to right. Back it goes. And that's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. Yordan Alvarez has done it with a 3-run blast in the bottom of the ninth. And Houston pulls it out 8-7. With a game winner, he finally reaches home plate, and they are mobbing him, jumping up and down, and the building goes nuts here in Houston. The Astros win a thriller 8-7.
Dave O'Brien from ESPN Radio. Yordan Alvarez, the walk-off 3-run homer to beat the Mariners in game 1. Astros are down 7-3, scored 2 runs in the 8th, then that walk-off home run in the 9th to win. Yordan's final stat line, 3-for-5, a double, and that walk-off home run finishing with 5 ribbies in the win for Houston. It was a rough go. Not only did you lose in walk-off fashion, if you're Seattle, they tagged Justin Verlander, 4 innings pitch for the likely AL Cy Young winner. 4 innings pitch, 10 hits, gave up 6 runs, walked 1 and only struck out 3, but the Mariners go down 1-0. Game 2 set for tomorrow afternoon a 2:37 start time. Luis Castillo, the ace for the Mariners, going up against Framber Valdez for the Astros, 2:37 start time from Houston yesterday. In the Bronx last night.
And the 3-2 to Rizzo is swinging a high fly ball to right, hit pretty well. Gonzalez is back at the wall. It is gone. A two-run home run for Rizzo. And the Yankees now lead the Guardians 4-1.
Dan Schulman from ESPN Radio, as you heard right here on KGYM with their coverage of the American League Division Series. Anthony Rizzo, a two-run home run in the sixth to help the Yankees as part of their 4-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians. Former St. Louis Cardinal Harrison Bader. So a night for the former NL Central players last night. Harrison Bader with a solo home run. Anthony Rizzo with the two-run home run in the sixth. Ooh, feel bad for Cardinal and Cub fans, wee bit, seeing that as he's got that win yesterday. Gerrit Cole, nice night on the mound, 6 1/3, 4 hits, a run, a walk, and struck out 8. Stephen Kwan, the lone run of the game for Cleveland, hit a solo home run. Guardians actually had that lead in that contest, but the Yankees just too much as they come out on top 4-1 to take a 1-0 series lead. Game 2 set for tomorrow night. Shane Bieber versus Nestor Cortez. Just fantastic pitching matchup there. Two of the best in the American League going at it at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. And then late nights last night, the Dodgers and Padres did battle.
The 1-1 hit the air left field. That one way back on its way and out of here. Home run left field, Trey Turner. And the Dodgers strike first, 1-0 L.A.
John Shambi from ESPN Radio, again, as you heard here on KGYM last night. Dodgers holding off a late rally for the Padres, winning 5-3. Trey Turner, 2-for-4 with that home run. Will Smith, also a 2-for-4 night with a double, an RBI, and 2 runs scored. Will Myers hitting a solo home run in the loss for the Padres. Dodgers with a 1-0 series lead. Game 2 of that series is tonight's first pitch, just after 7:30, and we'll have radio coverage from ESPN Radio starting at 7 tonight here on KGYM. It's Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw, the pitching matchup in that contest tonight, Game 2 of the Dodgers and Padres from Dodgers Stadium. We will take another quick timeout, 60-second timeout, back with a quick look at NBA preseason action, plus what happened in the NHL last night, plus and a look ahead to tonight's schedule, too. Have that for you coming up in just moments here on the gym.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back at 2:52, coming up on 2:53, it's Spencer Out Sports for a few more minutes here on the gym. 319-366-1600. NBA preseason action last night, under a week away now from the start of the regular season. And the Bucks, my beloved Milwaukee Bucks, lost to probably many of your beloved Chicago Bulls last night, 127-104. OKC over Detroit, 115-99. Orlando beating Memphis, 109-105. Spurs over Utah, 111-104. And Golden State thrashing Portland, 131-98. If you're a preseason pro basketball fan, national TV games on the docket tonight, the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Also, the Timberwolves taking on the, you guessed it, Lakers tonight, late night on ESPN. Also, Keegan Murray and the Sacramento Kings playing tonight. They will be at Phoenix. Hockey season got underway last night. Regular season underway for the NHL. The Rangers beating Tampa Bay 3-1. Las Vegas edging Los Angeles 4-3. The two marquee games last night. Blackhawk fans, your team in action tonight, part of the doubleheader on TNT, taking on the defending champs, the Colorado Avalanche. Saw the picture of the rings for the Avalanche. Those look super cool. Sports rings in general look pretty darn cool. 8:30 start time for that one out in Colorado. The other national TV game tonight, Boston and Washington, the Bruins and the Capitals tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. Also on the docket tonight in the hockey world, Columbus is at Carolina, Toronto at Montreal, the Kraken in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, and Vancouver taking on Edmonton. That is your Wednesday night hockey schedule tonight. We got Thursday night football on the airways for you tomorrow night. Bears fans, we got you covered tomorrow night as the Chicago Bears take on the Washington Commanders, 7:15 start time. Of course, streaming on Prime Video, but we got the coverage from Westwood One Sports starting at 6:30 tomorrow night. Some interesting news from the NFL today when it came to Davante Adams. He has actually been charged with misdemeanor assault for that shove of a credentialed media worker after the loss in Kansas City. Adams was indeed cited. The court reports, the police reports coming out today, cited for a, quote, intentional overt act that inflicted bodily injury, according to those court records released earlier today. The man was a freelancer working for ESPN's Monday Night Football. According to reports, suffered whiplash, a headache, and a possible concussion, at least a minor concussion, from that incident. The charges filed Wednesday morning in municipal court of Kansas City. It's one of the stories making the rounds in the NFL world today. Big afternoon. More local programming coming your way here on KGYM. If you got fantasy football questions, get them lined up. Chris Liss joining the gym class today just after 3:30 to answer those questions for your fantasy team this week just after 3:30. Todd and Alex, big guest today. Joe Maddon, former Chicago Cubs, Tampa Bay Rays, and Los Angeles Angels manager, got a new book out called The Book of Joe with Tom Verducci, co-authored with Tom Verducci. Joe going to call in about 4:30 tonight, so we won't want to miss that. Tristan Cockcroft, more fantasy football questions answered just after 5. And again, it's Wednesday, so wager-wise coming your way today at 5:30 with Jay Foster joining Todd and Alex here on KGYM. And don't forget, we got baseball tonight, the NLDS, the Dodgers, and the Padres. Coverage starts at 7 here on KGYM. Appreciate the interaction all day today. We're back tomorrow at 2 on the gym.